My name is Antonella Scali, and I'm the Executive Director of the Canadian Psoriasis Network. Today, we are very pleased to be speaking with Dr. Vinod Chandran and asking him some of our main questions about psoriatic arthritis. Dr. Chandran is a rheumatologist and clinician scientist. He's an associate professor of medicine and laboratory medicine and pathobiology at the University of Toronto, adjunct professor at the Memorial University of Newfoundland, and an affiliate scientist at the Crumble Research Institute. He's also a staff physician at the University Health Network and Mount Sinai Hospitals in Toronto, and an associate member of the graduate faculty at the Institute of Medical Science. He also co-directs the psoriatic arthritis program at the University Health Network. Dr. Chandran's research interests lie in the genetic and molecular epidemiology of psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, especially with regard to prognosis. We are very pleased and lucky to have Dr. Chandran here to speak with us today. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is psoriatic arthritis?
So psoriatic arthritis is a specific form of arthritis, which is inflammatory in nature and tends to happen in people with psoriasis. So it's not any arthritis that happens in psoriasis. It's an inflammatory arthritis, just like other arthritis that you may have heard of, like rheumatoid arthritis. But this is very different from that, and it causes inflammation in your joints. And like I mentioned, many people with this condition also have psoriasis, although some may not.
And what exactly is the cause of psoriatic arthritis?
That's a good question, because we don't know what actually causes the disease, but we have a lot of ideas about it. Most diseases which are inflammatory have a genetic component and what we call an environmental component. So in a person who's predisposed to the condition, who has a set of genes that cause the arthritis, there is a trigger that somehow leads to development of arthritis. And this can happen at any time, even in childhood or at a later age. And this interaction between the genes and the environment causes inflammation in and around the joints, what we call psoriatic arthritis. The genes that have been associated with this disease are many, and it's mostly in the immune system genes. So the immune system dysfunction is primarily responsible for it. But the trigger could be anything like an infection or injury, which is quite unique to this condition. So if you are predisposed to this condition, and if you get an injury to your joints or to bone, you seem to be at a higher likelihood of developing a chronic form of arthritis, which is different from other forms of injury-related arthritis, including osteoarthritis. So an environmental trigger like injury and a genetic background is what causes the disease. There could be other factors too, but that's all under investigation.
Okay, thank you. And you mentioned it's usually in people who have psoriasis. How many people, what is the percentage of people who are affected?
So up to a third of patients with psoriasis could get this condition, psoriatic arthritis. When we go to clinics where patients with psoriasis are seen, that these are probably patients with most severe forms of psoriasis who see dermatologists, and we do a survey, we find that about 30% of patients seen in these clinics have psoriatic arthritis. Now, when we go to the community and do surveys using questionnaires or asking them if you have psoriatic arthritis, the prevalence that we get from those kind of studies is about 15%, so about half of what we see in. And you could argue that this is because they have milder psoriasis, or that, and that's why it's lower, or maybe it is many of the diseases, you know, it's undiagnosed, and so you don't know, and therefore the prevalence is lower. So it's anywhere between 50 to 30%. And because it's quite prevalent, we are trying to get the message out there that if you have any symptoms related to joints, then you should, and if you have psoriasis, then you should at least consult your doctor to figure out if you have psoriatic arthritis. And occasionally you can have psoriatic arthritis without psoriasis. In that case, most of the time there's a family member, a sibling, or a child, or a parent with psoriasis, and that helps us make the diagnosis.
And what are the typical signs and symptoms of psoriatic arthritis, and what should somebody do if they experience them?
So psoriatic arthritis is a musculoskeletal disorder, an inflammation in the musculoskeletal system. So although we say arthritis, this could affect any of the musculoskeletal structures, and so the joints are important. So it could be any joint in your body, joints in your hands, elbows, knees, feet. You could also have back pain and neck pain. So that's another, there are joints there and that gets inflamed and you get pain there, typically associated with quite a lot of stiffness in the morning. And then somewhat specific to psoriatic arthritis is something called enthesitis. That's where the inflammation where the tendons and ligaments attach to bone. So these are at the back of the heel, at the bottom of the heel, around the knee, around the elbows, around the shoulders, around the hips. So these are sites of inflammation that are not exactly joints, but are related to the musculoskeletal system. And therefore, psoriatic arthritis is a disease where there's inflammation in your spine, in your joints, and enthesis. So you can have spondylitis, arthritis, or enthesitis. And it's an inflammatory condition.
Very good to know. We typically think of psoriatic arthritis as a chronic condition, but can people have an acute case?
So in the medical world, at least, when you say acute, we mean it's a short duration, typically 6 weeks, and chronic is anything beyond 6 weeks. So when the disease begins, you know, it's acute in that sense. Very few people have a short-lasting illness where they get short duration of arthritis. And typically, we diagnose it only if the joints are inflamed persistently for more than 6 weeks. And thus, it's a chronic arthritis. It is quite possible that this arthritis is short-lasting and goes away. We don't really understand why. We have patients who have had it for a year or two, and then it goes away on its own. But typically, it's a persistent condition causing chronic inflammation and joint damage. Also, when you say acute, it could also mean severe in a more colloquial term. So it can begin quite explosively with severe pain and swelling in the joints, especially the knees and ankles. And so it could also be, you know, acute in that sense and then progress on to be long-lasting and causing joint damage and become chronic and still very painful. And also, of course, depends on what treatment one is on. The severity depends on many such factors.
Great. And how is psoriatic arthritis related to psoriasis? What's the connection?
So the exact mechanisms why people with skin disease, psoriasis, get psoriatic arthritis is not really well known. One common factor is biomechanical stress or injury, where the typical psoriasis happens in back of the elbows, front of the knees, which are sites of minor trauma all the time, and back of the scalp. So and in patients with psoriasis, these small injuries lead to a healing response which becomes not contained and gets more severe and forms a skin inflammation and scaling, and that's could be one way of looking at psoriasis. So in psoriatic arthritis, similar mechanisms could be operative within the joint, where minor injuries that happen all the time instead of healing gets more severe. And so that's one biomechanical connection. In a patient who's predisposed to excessive inflammation secondary to an injury, the genes that are specific for skin disease seem to be less prevalent in patients with more severe joint disease. So there's a big overlap, but there are some genes that are related more to the skin disease, like HLA-C6, the most important gene for psoriasis. And there are some genes like HLA-B27, which is the most important gene for psoriatic arthritis, which by itself does not cause any skin condition. I must say, it's not really associated with psoriasis. So we don't know if any particular cell from the skin migrates to the joint and causes inflammation there. I personally don't think so, although there are some similar mechanisms. But I think the underlying reason why they happen at the same time is more related to the biomechanics of it and other environmental factors.
And what can be done to treat psoriatic arthritis?
So psoriatic arthritis, it's very important to treat it, and it also depends on severity. And the important thing about treatment is also diagnosis. So what we know is that if there is a delay in diagnosis, you get more severe joint inflammation and joint damage and lesser response to therapy. So it's important to get diagnosed early. And once it is diagnosed, treatment depends on the severity. Some patients have arthritis but doesn't bother them, the inflammation is very low or non-existent minor, and so there really is no need for treatment. But if it's more than that, we usually begin with anti-inflammatory drugs. Although it has its own problems, if they take care of the pain, then that's all that may be required. And this is particularly true for spinal back pain, where if you have a very good response to anti-inflammatories, then maybe that's all what you require. Here I'm only talking about medical therapy, so from medications point of view, that could be one. If the arthritis is more severe than that, then it depends on what is affected. So if your hands and feet, the so-called peripheral joints are affected, then we typically treat that with so-called disease-modifying agents, including drugs like methotrexate, sulfasalazine, leflunomide, and the more newer ones like apremilast. Now, if it's not particularly helpful, and the disease is still active, then we go on to the more newer drugs, like the biologic agents that target anti-TNF, IL-17, and now more recently IL-23. So those are found to be very useful. And then there's also an oral agent that has recently been approved, called tofacitinib, which has been shown to be very effective in people who have active disease, who have even failed biologic agents. So for peripheral arthritis, these are the medications that we use. Now for the back and neck pain, when anti-inflammatories are not helpful, what we use are the biologic agents, and the two that are available are anti-TNF agents and anti-IL-17 agents, although many other drugs are being evaluated. So it depends on what joints and where the inflammation is. And it's also important not to ignore the skin. Many times, the skin is managed by a dermatologist and the joints by a rheumatologist, so there might be a disconnect. So if you have a best managed, especially severe disease, is best managed when there is a good communication between the dermatologist and the rheumatologist, ideally in a combined clinic setting. So that's the pharmacotherapy of it. But that's only part of the management. Other things is good exercise is important, especially when you have significant back pain. Your overall health, your diet and diet is important. Losing weight makes a big difference in controlling the inflammation and pain. And sometimes there is chronic pain without evidence of very severe inflammation, and so that might have to be managed separately. Once again, exercise, good sleep, other types of therapy, massage therapy, for example, although there's not much of evidence for using that, but for helping for pain, that could be of benefit. So it's management is not just about treating the inflammation. It's a comprehensive treatment with drugs and the other things that I mentioned, so that the quality of life is much better, and you also take care of comorbidities, because patients with psoriatic arthritis and psoriasis tend to have a lot more metabolic issues, like metabolic syndrome, more cardiovascular disease, more diabetes, and of course more depression and anxiety related to the inflammation as well as pain. So comprehensive management needs a good team approach tackling all these problems.
Great. And can you talk a little bit about why diagnosis and early intervention are so important for people who have these signs and symptoms?
So early diagnosis is important. Early diagnosis leads to better management. We looked at our own database, and there was another study from Ireland where they looked at patients who came within a few months of diagnosis and who came later. So we could see that patients who came in early to the clinic. In our own clinic, we looked at patients who came in within 2 years of diagnosis. They did much better than people who came in late. In Ireland, when they looked at the study, what they found was that patients, even a delay of about 6 months, made a big difference in the long-term outcomes. So we believe that if there are signs and symptoms, it's best that the diagnosis is made within the first 6 months and treated appropriately so that future damage and disability is prevented. And so the diagnosis becomes important. It's also important because a lot of the symptoms of psoriatic arthritis are non-specific. So in the general population, joint pain is common, back pain is common, heel and other enthesial pain is common. So the crucial question is that what if a patient with psoriasis has back pain or a heel pain, is it just, you know, just because your particular, you know, there's no relation to the psoriasis, it's just mechanical, or is it actually inflammatory arthritis? And so that's where a rheumatologist needs to evaluate and do appropriate investigations, for proper clinical exam first. Blood work from inflammation is generally not very useful because the blood work is usually normal. And sometimes you need further imaging, ultrasound, MRIs, and x-rays to figure out if there is actually inflammation, then treat it appropriately. So because if it's inflamed, then it's important to get the inflammation down. If it is not inflamed and if it's mechanical, then there are other measures that is usually appropriate to keep it, to improve the pain and quality of life. So that, because the treatment really depends on if there is significant inflammation, it's important to make the diagnosis by a rheumatologist is the person, the specialist who can do that. And one of the reasons is the lack of biomarkers. In diseases of rheumatoid arthritis, you have rheumatoid factor, you have anti-CCP, usually the ESR and CRP is elevated, whereas in psoriatic arthritis, there are no, the CRP and other markers of inflammation that we generally do in the clinic for the general population, they are not really very different from normal people, and then there's no markers like rheumatoid factor. So, there's no diagnostic test that a family doctor could do or a dermatologist could do. And that's why it's important to see a rheumatologist to make that diagnosis.
And do dermatologists and rheumatologists usually work together when supporting somebody with these conditions?
Yes, generally. So if the skin disease is very minor, then I guess you don't need to see a dermatologist regularly. And the other way around, if the skin is bad but the joints are minor, maybe the dermatologist could follow that and you don't need to really see a rheumatologist after the diagnosis has been made. But in in most patients, you know, psoriasis could be significant and the arthritis remains persistent. And so a combined kind of management, either in a combined clinic, which has logistical issues, or at least a good communication with the between the dermatologist and rheumatologist makes makes it the management easier, or not easier, but better, because there are medications that if it just purely look from the skin, may not be. What I'm saying is that if the joints are affected, then the drugs that you use for skin disease management should also be helpful in the joints. So you should choose a drug that helps the joints also, and not just look at the skin and vice versa. If the joints are affected and the skin is significantly affected, you use a drug that really works for the skin and the joint. So all those decisions could be made best in a combined setting. And then, of course, the appropriate cream for a particular form of psoriasis is best done by the dermatologist, and an appropriate anti-inflammatory is best given by a rheumatologist. So a combined clinic where you have both the dermatologist and rheumatologist really helps the patient, and patients that come to our combined clinic are quite happy with that, and the satisfaction with care is also much higher.
And do you have any suggestions for patients that are coming to see you or another rheumatologist on how they can make the most of their visit?
For all patients going to the dermatologist, don't forget to complain about joint pain if you have it. And when I say joint pain, it also means pain in your feet, heels, pain in your back and neck. I know those. A lot of people commonly have those pains. But if it's persistent, especially worse in the morning, make your dermatologist know so that an appropriate referral can be done. And when you go to the rheumatologist, come with all the medications that you have taken, especially anti-inflammatories, and how it helped you or not. Don't forget to talk about your back and neck pain, also the impact of the skin disease to the rheumatologist, because the rheumatologist is going to concentrate on your hands and feet and the peripheral joints, but and also the spine if you complain of back pain. But it's important to have a conversation about the impact of skin disease also, so that when you make a treatment decision after the diagnosis is made, that is also taken into account by the rheumatologist. And if you have any x-rays that were done, if you could bring those reports with you, that would be useful. And a list of all the medications that you have taken in a chronological order. And if the other important thing that we always talk about is the comorbidities. Patients with psoriasis tend to have liver problems, more diabetes, more problems with their cholesterol. So getting your medication list and all the other diseases that you have, a list of that would be very useful for the rheumatologist to choose the appropriate therapy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chandran, for being with us today and answering all of our questions about psoriatic arthritis. I know we look forward to talking with you again as this interesting area evolves. I know I learned a lot today, and I hope our listeners have as well. And we thank you and look forward to speaking with you again in the future.